Hello there. You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
This is Bob Woodson again, and you're listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. Our guests are Ronnie Ortiz, or Pastor Arson, of the Richmond Outreach Center in Richmond, Virginia, and Omar Jawa, founder of Vision Regeneration in Dallas, Texas. But we were just talking about what is it that that young people are yearning for, and Omar, what is it that you think is the most important element when they're looking for heroes? You said, you know, what is it that attracts a child to this kind of love, because they're not supposed to do that?
Yeah, you know, the greatest gift a hero can show is transparency, is, you know, you can touch me. I'm not too far away from you. Heroes in the hood don't work when it's too good. You know, they too good to be true. They want to be able to say, I see the path. Well, I'm gonna tell you another movie that touched a lot of young folks that I was with, man, and that was The Express. We saw that movie about a football player who died very early of leukemia, and again at the end of the movie, the young man said, I don't want you to be like me. Be better than me. You know, my life is ended, but my legacy might live through you. That kind of stuff, man. It just that kind of real live sacrifice, laying your life down. The scripture says it. What, you know, no greater love than a man can have than lay down their life for a friend. And that's real, man. That is not that's not fake. That's real. But what happens is, when a person opens up that much, you become vulnerable. See, so you can't open up and not be vested. So it's hard. So if you're gonna really come in that deep, you got to be willing to be touched. You know, like the scripture said about Christ, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by our infirmities. So when a kid is sick and hurting and they miss, and some of these kids fail that you've invested in, you got to be willing to go with the highs and lows. So that's what real heroic values are in the neighborhoods that we serve.
But when you look at, again, going back to my point about the kids we brought together from Springfield, mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Tiger Woods of this world, mm-hmm. And the Michael Jacksons of this world, two-parent households, mm-hmm. fame, fortune, and Paris Hilton. I mean, you can go down the list, Sheen, you know, all of the actors and now our basketball players and all of these people that have fame, fortune, and money and power, all the things that are supposed to deliver. I remember some years ago, many, many years ago, when I had a young white girl who was a graduate in school of social work, and we had just returned four kids from foster care and reunited them back with their parents. And so it was her mother, rather, and it was a joyous occasion. And afterwards, we're sitting in my office sort of celebrating, and all of a sudden she just broke down and started crying. But they weren't tears of joy. So I said, Nan, what is going on? And she looked at me, just eyes filled with tears, and said, Bob, you don't know how blessed those children are to know what oppresses them. She was an heir to the DuPont fortune. And she says, I have all of the things, both parents, all of the material resources that I have. I go to Paris in the summer, but I just feel empty. And it's even worse because all of the things of the world aren't satisfying it. So therefore, where else can I turn? At least if you don't have these material benefits, you can fantasize that your condition is created by the absence of things. And you can always strive to obtain these things.
Yeah.
But what is it like for a person who feels empty or abandoned in the midst of all of the secular comforts that the world tells us are essential? for a meaningful life.
Wow. You know, and Pastor Austin, I would yield to you here, but man, it's like Jesus talking to the rich man, the rich young ruler, when he told him, man, sell everything you got and come on. And the guy walked away because those things had such a hold on his mindset. And I think that we have to do a better job of telling the tragedies of stuff and telling the triumphs of real spiritual life and growth. I think a lot of times we, you know, just as the culture and the public, we don't do a good enough job of expressing what you just said. And so these kids are right fantasizing about what they think can bring them joy, but they never really find it until they really get their souls delivered and set free from what really oppresses them.
You know, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And what we say at The Rock, that means basically take care of God's business, which is others, and he'll take care of your business. And you got two type of roads people take. You got the road that they take care of themselves, and that could be in the poverty places, or that could be in high society. You take care of yourselves, and then they find emptiness. And then you got other people that take care of others, whether it's in high society or it's in the inner city, doesn't matter, and they take care of others. They use what they have for others. What if it's a little that they got, they use it. If it's a lot that they got, they use it. And those people are the people that find happiness, because happiness is always found when you do things for others. Who's the happiest person that walked the earth? Jesus was. Why? Because he lived his life for others. His 12 disciples, he told them, hey, listen, what I did, I need you to do. Take up your cross. Follow me. Live your life for others. And I think happiness, no matter what you know, social background you're from, is always going to be found in helping others. And emptiness is always going to be found when you're trying to help yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that another passage in the Bible that talks about the difference between rehabilitation and transformation, which is what I want to talk about. How does change get sustained over a period of time? I think rehabilitation to me is like clearing a field of weeds without replanting that field. And the Bible says, and we know practically too, if you leave a field vacant, more weeds will grow and it'll be worse off than it was originally. But if you take that field that has been stripped of the weeds and you plant new plants there, then this healthy growth prevents weeds from growing. And that's why a therapeutic approach to youth violence, where a child is going to a therapist, that seeks to remove the disease, but it doesn't make that child a new person. And what I hear coming from both of you is that you're in the transformation business and not the rehabilitation business. Am I right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. I just think that if you're a gambler, you might win your money back, but you need to get yourself rid of the disease so you can quit losing money, you know. That's the deal. At some point, man, there is nothing like freedom, man. It's nothing like really being free. You know, maybe you are not out of your environment, but you are out of the mindset that the environment has tried to place you in. You may not be out of the critical poverty, but you see that this poverty won't define what my desires are. See, so it's like it was a powerful movie, powerful line in the Batman deal when the Joker said, "You have nothing that you can tempt me with." I, the Joker was being very cynical. But on the flip side of that, there's nothing like going into a neighborhood and saying to that neighborhood, "This is a bad place, but I will not yield to you because I have been free." That's just a unusual place to be, and it feels so good.
So to market in transformation, but how do you sustain the kind of transformation? What are the specific things? I know, Austin, you've had a long, you all, both of you, believe that you must invest in these children, not for the length of a funded program, but for the length of their lives. And so, because people ask the question, well, how long, Arson, are you going to stay in this field? Omar, how long are you going to stay in this field?
You know, for life, that's it. You know, for life. As Spanish people, we got a term, por vida, and you get involved in a gang, you do for life. And this is something, it's a life investment because it's not a, like you said, it's not a program, it's a way of living that has changed my life. And we all just talked about how happy it makes you when you give to others. I don't want to stop, you know, being happy. And the great part about it is this the pyramid scheme. It's great. It's we help somebody, and we train them to help others, and they help somebody, and they train. And it's a pyramid scheme. That's why, you know, in 2007, we had the fifth fastest growing church in America. And 2 years later, we had the 12th fastest. In two separate years, we were on the top 20 in America of growing. We're just building that big house, which has a 3,500 seat capacity. It's about to be finished in March. And we have no, because there's so many others and there's so many people going through problems, we're never going to be out of business of helping others. Mm-hmm. And we have the staff because I'm training them right now. There are 16-year-olds in the street. They're me 16 years ago.
Wow.
And Omar, what is your growth plan?
Well, to do the same, you know, I believe that we should have a viral effect. I am absolutely going into the media and saying, put a microphone on my megaphone so that we can reach as many kids as we can. So we're using television. We're using the internet. We're using, you know, of course, we're expanding in schools. But the goal is to get as many young people shouting the same thing until we move the needle. Until violence, I really believe that there's going to come a time when violence in young people is such an egregious sin that we are shocked by it again. You said at the beginning of the show that someone was killed, and somebody else was shot, and we talked privately, and you said the young man shot 16 times. That should shock somebody. That should not be normal and you know, business as usual. But in this culture, you got to keep pushing it until young people say, I'm shocked and appalled by this. And so that's what we're doing. I'm absolutely with you saying let's start a movement that really takes over to where this culture is changed by these antibodies that we infuse in it.
And I really believe one of the biggest threats to the future of this nation is one's from terrorism from abroad. But then terrorism in the form of the Mexican drug cartel who's recruiting across the border.
Yeah.
And coming up. And I believe that the only competition that they have is the kind of outreach that is evident in what you two are doing. Mm-hmm. Because you are in that same environment. Together, you collectively represent the elements of a national immune system. That if it were properly resourced and we find out the 500 other Arsons and Omars that are indigenous to these sick, troubled, violent communities, and we were able to properly resource them and coordinate them with what we are doing, that I really believe that people like yourselves are America's new patriots.
Yeah.
Less than 3% of the American public fought in the Revolutionary War. Just 3%. But they were the ones that made it possible for this country to be all of what it is. And I believe that you all are the new patriots in this country. And someone once said to Mother Teresa, when you look at the scope of the problem that you face in Bombay, India, where you got 3 million people in need of your hospital, and yet you can only minister to and help 300, aren't you frustrated that you aren't more successful? And Mother Teresa said, God does not require success of me, but faithfulness. Because yeah. If I'm faithful in what I do, God will determine success. I want to thank the two of you for being my very special guest today. I'm most excited about what you had to share with us. Our guests today have been Ronnie Ortiz, or Pastor Arson, of the Richmond Outreach Center in Richmond, Virginia, and Omar Jawa, founder of Vision Regeneration in Dallas, Texas. And we have been examining recent incidents of youth violence, but also discussing ways to transform violent young people into ambassadors of peace. Next week, we will continue to explore some more of the issues troubling our schools and communities and talk to some of the people who are actually solving problems. I'm Bob Woodson, president of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Please join us next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to listen to the show and to access past programs. Go to www.cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. If you'd like to comment on the show or send us story ideas, please email us at bobwoodsonshow@cneonline.org. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll be with us each week on The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.
You've been listening to The Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr. To learn more, visit cneonline.org. And join us next time for more of The Bob Woodson Show, right here on TalkZone.com.